I'm going to go ahead and invite your attention over to Hebrews chapter 10. Certainly, I think with a lesson on attendance tonight, you might know where I'm going here in just a few moments. While everybody's making their way out, I've always kind of had a soft spot in my heart for preacher's kids. And part of the reason, I guess, why is because I have four preacher's kids. One of them doesn't know it yet, but that's what he's going to be when he gets old enough to start understanding stuff like that. And sometimes you just take them on the road and they don't have a clue where they're going, but they want to go because mom and dad's going. And hadn't been very long ago that we went to San Marcos, Texas, and had a friend invited me to come out there and speak on a preacher workshop out there in Texas, much like PTP would be. And I know that Mark goes over there and he speaks several times per year because I bump into him over there. But we hopped in the car and I thought to myself, you know what, this is not going to be any problem. Everything's going to be good. I looked at the paper and it was a little over 600 miles, I believe. It was going to take something like 13 hours. And I thought, this is not going to be any trouble. That 13-hour ride turned into an 18-hour ride. But those kids, they were just as good as they could be. They want to be wherever you are. I'm grateful again and want to say that. And if you would give me just a few moments to before I get started, just wanted to say something about Mark. And certainly you can tell him I said it if you want to. He may not want to know. I'm not really sure. But Mark came and held our gospel meeting at Blackwater. We have a fall meeting every year, and it usually runs, I guess, Sunday through Wednesday. It went Sunday through Tuesday for Mark that year. I believe maybe he wasn't able to stay around for the Wednesday part of it, but preached one of the better gospel meetings, I believe, that we've had since we were at Blackwater, and that's almost 5 years now. And I went out to eat lunch with him a couple times while he was there, and I guess over a period of about 2 years, I probably didn't see very much from him anymore whatsoever at all. And I went up to Lads to Leaders in Tennessee, and of course, you know, Mark goes up there too, and been a little while since I had seen him. I had started having some trouble with my back. I'm 36 years old, and I've been told I have about a 60-year-old back is what I've been told. So I just go with what the doctors say. But I bumped into Mark up there at PTP, and he saw me from afar off, and he pointed at me and kind of gave me this notion to hold on just a second. And he came over there. He was traveling with a group of people walking through the foyer out there where all the books were at Lads to Leaders. And he walked up to me, and he said, "How's your back?" And I didn't even know he knew anything about my back. Did not have a clue whatsoever. But from that point forward, and I reckon I should have known this about him before, considering the small amount of time that we got to spend with each other while he was holding a gospel meeting. But you've got a preacher, I believe, who cares about people. And I think if you're going to be a preacher, if you're going to be a minister in any kind of way, you have to care about people. And I have always been impressed with Mark, and appreciate him so very much, and once more, I appreciate you allowing us to be here tonight. It's always a privilege, I believe, even though we're about 63 miles away from coming over here, and it didn't take us a long time to get here, but I didn't even know this place existed. Before I got here, I didn't know any of the brethren here. I hope to get to know some of you at least for just a few moments tonight before we have to head back home, but I think one of the greatest blessings of being in the Lord's church is you can go almost anywhere and find some brothers and sisters in Christ. And friends, that is a great, great blessing. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we're going to get started tonight. And we're going to look at verses 23 through 26 here in just a few moments. And these verses, I believe, have long been used by many gospel preachers to preach on this idea of attendance. And you know, as we take off tonight and read those verses, just want to make this statement one more time. As you go into God's Word and study it, the more you realize that since God's creation, mankind overall hasn't changed a whole lot. And some of the problems that we suffer now are some of the problems that they suffered even as you go back into the first century church and even before then. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23, the writer there says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Friends, you can look at that passage right there by itself, and if we didn't have any other passage other than that one in the New Testament that talks about the idea of attendance, you could see that even dating back to the Hebrew church, there in Hebrews chapter 10, that there was a problem there with attendance. And as you look at that and you understand that it was a problem then, for some it's still a problem today. And tonight I have been assigned for just a few moments to talk about the idea of why it's important now more than ever to attend all of the services. Now, I'm going to do the best that I can to give us some good biblical reasons, and I'm assuming that not everyone agrees with some of the statements that I might make. And I don't think that there will necessarily be anybody here tonight who won't agree with it, because I realize as you preach on a Wednesday night and you look at the folks who are gathered there on a Wednesday night, you're generally going to be looking at the folks who believe that it is important to attend every service. But I believe it to be the case that every service that we have, and I don't think it makes any difference which one it is, if it's Sunday morning for our Bible study, if it's Sunday morning for our worship, whether it's Sunday evening for our Bible study, Wednesday night, such as we've gathered here tonight, gospel meetings, vacation Bible schools, workshops for Bible schools, evangelism workshops, whatever the case is, I believe that every one of those things are of equal importance. And I'll try to explain that to you why as we continue to go tonight, but I believe that as we have opportunities to get together, just like this tonight, such as Hebrews 10 and verse 24 says, that we need to be considering one another, and we need to be encouraging one another to be part of good works. And I don't know that a person could hold me down and try to make me believe, but you wouldn't be able to make me believe that a Wednesday night service or any other service outside of the one that we generally deem to be the most important on Sunday morning, I don't know that you could make me believe that any of those services aren't good works. And I believe that the Bible teaches us in passages such as Titus 3 and verse 1, as New Testament Christians, we ought to be ready to support every good work, no matter what it might be. But I'm going to assume that perhaps the reason that I'm here tonight to speak on this topic is because there may be a difference in your attendance on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. There may be a difference in your attendance on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, such as we're here tonight. Perhaps that's why we have the opportunity to be able to speak on something just like this. Now, I realize, before we go further, and I think it's important to point this out and to think about this, I realize that sometimes there are legitimate reasons as to why someone might miss a worship service. And I realize that there are some times when somebody might have a legitimate reason to miss a Wednesday night Bible study such as we have tonight. But I want to say at the same time that I'm also aware that sometimes people just miss for reasons that they ought not. What about Super Bowl Sunday? That's generally a time where you're going to be missing a few that you may not be missing on any other day of the year. Tonight, Game 3 of the NBA Finals is on, and I'm a big NBA fan. I'm not really a Warriors or a Cavaliers fan, but I love to watch basketball, especially in the playoffs. But you know what? That's not as important as being here. There are things that come up. Sometimes there are sicknesses that come up. Sometimes brethren have to work, and I'm not talking about something that they choose to do. Sometimes they have to. Sometimes brethren are mourning over the loss of a loved one. Sometimes the weather might keep somebody from coming out who may be able to get out in other times. I believe that in those rare cases, missing services can be justified. But I believe as well that sometimes, and this is more who we're going to be pointed at tonight, and I hope it's an encouragement to everybody, but sometimes we just miss because we choose to do so. And I don't think that we can go to the Bible and explain that in a way that would be okay. What we're going to try to do tonight, and I've been told I have till about 8 o'clock. Somebody told me that I could go as long as I wanted to, and I thought, be careful, Paul preached until midnight one time. We don't plan on doing that. Brother Cates used to tell us while we were in school, Brother Curtis Cates, he would say, you know what it means when a preacher looks at the clock? Y'all know what it means when the preacher looks at a clock? Nothing. It doesn't mean anything. But I'll look up there at it occasionally, and I'll do the best that we can to get us out on time and get everybody home safely. But tonight, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to look at 6 or 7 good reasons why we ought to attend every service that we can. Number one tonight, I believe that we should attend all services because We need to grow in knowledge of God's Word. If you have your Bibles, let's look over to Matthew chapter 28. And let's look at verses 18 through 20. Now, generally, this might seem like a kind of a different place to go when it comes to the idea of encouraging attendance. Because generally, when we go to Matthew 28, or if we go to Mark 16, if we go to Luke 24, if we go to the end of the book of John, we're generally going to be thinking about the Great Commission, aren't we? But I think there's something here that we need to look at outside of just that idea of the Great Commission. But Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But notice what verse 20 says. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, as you get into Matthew 28 and you go to begin to look at the process of conversion, you see that there is, I guess you could say, a threefold message that we are to take part in. Number one, we're supposed to teach. We're supposed to go in to teach everybody that we know of that's lost. And then if we're privileged enough to, and if prayers went into it and work has went into it, we can convert somebody to Christ. They can be baptized into Christ, according to Romans 6 and verse 4. But then when that is over with, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to teach. And we're supposed to learn some more. What I find out the more I study is that Christianity itself is a taught religion. It's not something that we just wake up one day knowing. It's something that has to be taught. It's something that has to be learned. Jesus said in John 6, verses 44 and 45, He says, "No man can come to me unless the Father which has sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." That's John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. So you got just two verses, and certainly that's not the only verses that we could go to look at, that came from the mouth of Jesus himself that says that we as Christians need to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. As Christians, I believe it is our responsibilities to make sure that we are doing the absolute best that we can, no matter how much we feel like we might know, to continue to learn. I want to ask you a question tonight. What is one of the best ways, one of the best privileges that we have as far as New Testament Christians to learn about God's Word? Friends, I don't think you will find them in a better setting than a worship setting. I don't believe that you will find opportunities that are any better than a Bible class setting such as we have tonight. We're supposed to be gaining knowledge all throughout our lives. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul says to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if we're going to be able to rightly divide the truth, that tells me that we're going to have to spend some time in God's Word. Now, 2 Peter, as you go over to the book of 2 Peter, there are countless passages all throughout that book that tells us that as New Testament Christians, that we ought to be doing the absolute best that we can to put that growth and knowledge into our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, we generally think of that as the beginning of the Christian virtues, is what we generally call them. But as you look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, when Peter starts talking about those different things that we need to add to our lives as Christians to help us to be able to overcome the things that we have to overcome on a daily basis, the end of 2 Peter 1 and verse 5 says that we need to add to ourselves knowledge. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, Peter says that we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We understand that when it comes to the idea of knowledge, or at least I hope we understand that knowledge is one of those things. It's certainly not the only thing, but knowledge is certainly one of those things that will help us to remain faithful to the Lord. In fact, we certainly don't have time to go and look at all these different passages tonight, but there are countless passages that we read of. In particular, perhaps the most well-known passage about knowledge comes from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Over at Blackwater, they tell me that's Hosea. Is it Hosea here? It's Hosea when I say it. But Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, where he tells God's people, he says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of what? A lack of knowledge. They weren't living the way that they were supposed to live because, quite honestly, they didn't know the things about God that they needed to know about Him." And I think it stands reasoning, and I don't think that principle has changed very much from the Old Testament times to the times that we live in now, but I don't think that principle has changed at all. If I don't get into God's Word, if somebody doesn't teach it to me, if I don't sit down and open it up and study it and learn it myself, there are going to be things that I don't know about God. And certainly if I don't know those things about God, chances are, what's going to happen? I'm going to fall short somewhere. If I don't understand that God doesn't want me to do this, chances are when I have the opportunity to do that, I'm going to do it. If I don't understand that God doesn't want me to go here, when that opportunity arises and I have the opportunity to go there, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to go there. And guess what's going to happen? Again, I'm going to fall. Friends, I find it absolutely amazing to study throughout the life of Christ. I told them out at Blackwater we were going to study the life of Christ, and I didn't know how long it was going to take, but we spent the better part of 2.5 years going through the life of Christ and chronologically studying about Him from His birth to the time that He went to the cross to the time that He ascended into the heavens in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. And in the life of Jesus, friends, it became very, very apparent to me that He used, perhaps far more than anything else throughout His lifetime, He used knowledge of the Scriptures to be able to overcome temptation. In fact, friends, when you look over to Matthew chapter 4 and you look at verses 1 through 11, we generally think of that scripture there as being the temptation of Christ. It's paralleled in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. But every time the devil came to Jesus and he says, "I'll give you this if you'll fall down and worship me," do you remember the three words that Jesus said to him every time that he came to him and tempted him? I believe you probably know those words, don't you? "It is written. It is written. It is written." When temptation came to Jesus, Jesus went to God's Word. And friends, I believe this to be the absolute gospel truth. Every time we forsake the assembling of ourselves, every time we forsake the assembling of the saints, we take a step towards, I believe, stifling our spiritual development. Each time we as Christians are able to assemble together, every time that we have that privilege, if things are done properly, we have a great opportunity to learn more about God. We have a great opportunity to learn more about our Lord and Savior Jesus. We have a great opportunity to learn about God's Spirit who inspired these words for us to be able to study. And not only do we have that, we're pointed towards the direction that we ought to go in our lives. And I believe just one of the things that should cause us to attend all of the services that we have opportunity to is because we can understand that it helps us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter mentioned in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Number two tonight, I believe that we should attend all services because faithful attendance encourages others. Faithful attendance encourages others. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, as we read just a few moments ago, one of the reasons that Paul, I believe at least it was Paul who wrote the book of Hebrews, but he said one of the purposes for us assembling together is this: "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." To encourage one another. One of the greatest blessings, I believe, that we have as Christians is the encouragement that we can give to one another. And friends, I know it to be the case, and I can't really speak for you, but I know for a fact with me, I get the most encouragement when I am around other Christians. I am encouraged in ways that perhaps I wouldn't find anywhere else when I am around other people. You know, when you look over to Acts chapter 2 and you start there in verse 41... where it begins to talk about the New Testament church and how those 3,000 people were added to the church as they were baptized by God, the Bible goes on to tell us some of the things that they did afterwards. And one of the things that it points out to us is that they were in one another's presence almost continually. They spent time with other Christians. You know, I think that perhaps we've heard the old saying, or we've heard that old song, you know, the idea of lean on me. When you're not strong, I'll be your strength, I'll help you carry on. I know that you know, I'm not going to sing it. I know that you know that song. But we need encouragement from time to time, don't we? We need somebody to lean on. This life, I believe, and I believe it's because the devil is going to do everything that he can to make it be this way, but this life is going to do everything that it can to knock us down. You know, I perhaps think that when those times come, whenever those difficulties arise, no matter what they might be, when I think of myself falling down, when I think of myself beginning to sink, I think of a Christian being there to help me up. I think of Jesus in Matthew chapter 14, where Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He had stepped off of the boat and started making his way towards Jesus. But when he saw the storm, the Bible says that he began to sink. And when he began to sink, what did he cry out? He said, "Lord, save me." In other words, "Lord, help me." And the Bible says that immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. I think of brothers and sisters in Christ as being the ones to stretch out their hands when we're having difficulties. I think of brothers and sisters in Christ in this world as being perhaps one of the greatest encouragements that we can have. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." When Jesus sent his disciples out, we generally think of it as the limited commission. They didn't go to the Gentiles at first. They went to the Jews. But when Jesus sent them out, did he send them out one by one? Or did he send them out two by two? He sent them out with somebody, didn't he? And you know, I think that part of the reasoning with that is, and though I don't know if I would be dogmatic about this, but perhaps part of the reason that Jesus did that is because he knew that they were going to need encouragement. And friends, I believe it to be the case that just as sure as faithfulness in assembling together encourages, I believe that being absent discourages. Let's look over to Numbers chapter 32 for just a few moments. Numbers chapter 32. Now we have to understand as we get on into this part of God's Word that, of course, they've already left Egypt behind. And they're making their way towards the Promised Land, and they are fighting battles all along the way as they're making their way towards the Promised Land, because there were people in that land that needed to be driven out before they could take it as their own. And when you get over to Numbers chapter 32, and you begin looking there in verse 1, it says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock, the children of Gad and all the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, 'Atharoth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Eliah, Shebam, Nebo, and Beon, the country with the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock.' Therefore they said, 'If we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan.' And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, 'Shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them?'" Now understand, we're talking about the context of these verses. We're talking and dealing with the settlement of the tribes. And I understand that we're not necessarily talking about just attendance the way that we would be thinking about it tonight, but I believe that the principle applies. When we think about the tribes, we think of Reuben and Gad, and we think about half of the tribe of Manasseh. They were the first of the 12 tribes to have their portion of the promised land cleared of the inhabitants. Now, what's interesting about all of this is when their portion of the land was cleared of the people who were in it, they just wanted to stop, didn't they? They didn't want to go on the other side of the Jordan River. They didn't want to fight. They didn't want to help. But Moses told them that they couldn't have their own land until they went across the river to clear out the rest of the land. And in particular, in verse 7, what Moses says to them is that if you don't go with them, and if you don't fight with them, what you're going to be is you're going to be a discouragement to the other tribes. Doesn't it just stand reasoning that since the other tribes had helped them clear out their lands, wouldn't reason just tell you that they should be willing to do the same for the other ones? You know, I think it to be the case. Basically, they're saying this land is clear. Let us have it. We don't want to go, and we don't want to fight no more. We don't want to go on the other side of the river. And Moses said, there's still a battle to be fought. And you need to get over there, and you need to help fight the battle. Friends, when I think of somebody who doesn't attend worship services as they should, I think of somebody who's not taking part in the battle as much as they should. I think of someone, whether it has to do with attendance or negligence or any other matter, it can be discouraging to those who are faithful. You know, you'd be surprised through the years, and I don't know if Mark's ever given you any examples like this before or not, but I have had members of the Lord's church who would come to me and they would say, you know what, I've been struggling with this. Would you please write a sermon on this? I need some help in this area. What can you do to help me out? What can you preach? What can you teach to help me out in this area? And then go and spend, you know, however many hours that it might take to put a sermon together. It generally takes a while. But then you get ready to come in and you're thinking, I'm going to help this person. I'm going to do the best that I can to help them out of the struggles that they're having. And when you get ready to preach that sermon, they're not there. Those kind of things happen sometimes. And certainly, as we talked about before, sometimes, you know, that's because there are difficulties that arise in life, but sometimes people just don't. They're just not worried enough about things that are spiritual. They'll tell you that they want to do better, but then when it comes time to actually get help to do better, they're nowhere to be found. Absenteeism can be a discouragement. Now, I think it may discourage as well some of the elderly members of the congregation. And Brother Grady was mentioned. Brother Max, his son's 86 years old. Max has been in eldership now, I believe, for a little over 40 years. He's been in eldership longer than I've been alive. He's been in the eldership for a long time. And he talks about this special club that we have at Blackwater. Perhaps you have one here too. Here's the way that club works. If you're not 80 years old or above, you can't be in it. But we've got several members at Blackwater who are over 80 years old. And every one of those brethren that are over 80 years old, they are just as faithful in their attendance as they can be. And friends, I'll tell you, I like to see that special club walk through the doors at Blackwater. And the reason that I do is because I draw encouragement from them. Because I know that when you look at somebody who's 80 plus, they're going to have some difficulties in their lives. We have some who have canes. We have some who are on walkers. Brother Paul Mayberry passed away just a few months ago. And Brother Paul, from the time that I got there until the very last, up until the last Thursday that he lived, he was at the jail every Thursday. Every Thursday. Teaching people who were lost. You know, you draw a lot of encouragement from someone like that. And you think to yourself, I'm 36 right now. I'll be 37 in a few days. But I hope to myself and I pray to myself that if I'm blessed to be able to live that long, that I'll still be useful in the Lord's service. I often wonder sometimes what it makes them feel like to attend better than some people who are a third of their age. We draw encouragement from them because of their faithfulness, because they want to be part of every good thing that they can be a part of. But sometimes, and I say this and don't say it to be mean, I don't say it to be hateful, but sometimes with our younger people, they're not as involved as the elderly are. Area where we need to work on. Number three tonight. I believe attendance to be important now, perhaps more than ever, because this is just as simple as it can be. Friends, I believe it's sinful to neglect attending the services. I believe that it is sinful to forsake the assembling of the saints. And I believe that's what we have taught right there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. You know, there is little to no doubt as we talk about them attending. We know when they attended on the first day of the week. Acts 20 and verse 7 points that out. 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. And you would be surprised through the years, and I haven't been preaching for a long time. I've been preaching, I guess, a little over 10 years now. But you would be surprised through the years where I have preached sermons on attendance and I would have somebody to come to me after that sermon with is over with. You know, it's not a command to come back on Sunday night. I have had people come to me and say, you know, it's not necessarily a command to be here on Wednesday night. And people will say, well, you know, that's just nothing more to a tradition. But, you know, I think to myself when I hear stuff like that, that's a pretty pitiful excuse to not want to gather and learn more about God. And it's a pretty bad excuse, I believe, to not want to come and to have fellowship with our brethren. And friends, maybe this is just my country roots coming out, and I guess you can hear by listening to me that I'm a pretty country boy. But do you think that this conversation ever took place? Hey, John. And John looks over and he says, yeah, James. Jesus is about to teach. And then have James look at John and say, I think I'm just going to sit this one out. Do you think that perhaps Peter ever said, I know that Jesus is going to be speaking today, but you know the fish are really biting, and I'm sure that he would understand. Now friends, I don't know that I can be absolutely sure about that, but I don't believe those conversations ever took place. In fact, I believe it to be the case that if what we study throughout God's Word is true, and we know that it is because it came through inspiration, friends, when Jesus taught, people were there. When Jesus taught, no matter where he was generally surrounded by a group of people. And friends, they would be there, and sometimes we think of the idea of worship, and we think of 2 hours on Sunday morning, and we think of an hour on Sunday night, and we think of an hour on Wednesday night. I don't necessarily know that that was the way that they worshiped during that time. I do know that Eutychus stayed up so late one night that he fell out of a window while Paul was preaching. I always hesitate to say that. I look up there and there's people in the window up there. I don't want anybody falling out. But friends, they were interested in things that were spiritual. And I think that's where we need to be now. You know, I ask the question sometimes at Blackwater, whatever happened to seek ye first the kingdom of God? Whatever happened to the idea of being ready for every good work, such as Titus 3 and verse 1 says that we ought to do? And not only has God given the command to assemble together, it's right there in Hebrews chapter 10. But not only has God done that, but He has left the authority of the church in the hands of the elders. And if you have elders in this congregation, and I know that you do, they have deemed certain times for you to gather together. And friends, I just believe it to be the case that Hebrews 13 and verse 7 and Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says that we ought to do the best that we can to submit to the authority of the elders. When they ask us to assemble, we need to do what they ask. Shouldn't it only be natural for the sheep to want to follow the shepherd? I've been told that there was one bell. And I told y'all when I look at that clock, it doesn't mean very much. And we're on point 3 of 7. Y'all think I can move that fast? Number 4 tonight, very quickly. We should attend all services because neglecting the assembly sets forth a bad example. It sets forth a bad example. And as Christians, we're supposed to be good examples to others, other Christians, those who are not in Christ. Matthew 5 and verse 16 says that we're supposed to let our light shine. And friends, we have so many opportunities to let our light shine. The reason that I wanted to talk about this is because my home congregation's in Nesbitt, Mississippi. I don't know if you know where Memphis is, about 30 minutes south of Memphis. And while Charles Broyles was in preaching school at the Memphis School of Preaching, Brother Charles and his wife and his 2 boys would get together, and we supported them while they were in school. And Charles came and he worked with our congregation while he was there at Memphis, every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening. And there were 2 individuals at the apartment complex where they lived that saw them go out the door every time, every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening. And finally, they asked them, we see that you're dressed up. We see that you leave the same exact time every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening. Where are you going? And Charles said, well, we're going to worship God. And friends, from that point forward, they had an opportunity to be able to study the Bible with 2 people that are brethren now, Terrence and Janice Moore. who caught wind of the fact that they were going somewhere and they were going to the same place every time because they looked the same way every time. Their examples was able to open a door up. Now, friends, I believe it to be the case that if our examples can open a door up, I believe that our examples as well can close a door. And we don't want to close the door because we're not using the example that we should be using. Not only do we need to think about that, but I believe that we need to think about our children. And I know that there are children here because I saw mine get up and go to their classes just a few moments ago. But you know what? I believe it to be the case. I think of Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, and basically God told Moses that they needed to be teaching those people when they were laying down, when they were rising up, when they were going to bed, every time they had an opportunity to teach them, they needed to do that. Guess what it says? If every Sunday morning we go to worship God. Guess what it says if every Sunday evening we go to worship God? If every Wednesday we go to worship God? What does it say about us if we go to Vacation Bible School 5 days in a row? What that says to our young people is that it's important to us. It's important to us. You ever heard actions speak louder than words? Well, I think in a lot of ways you could paraphrase James chapter 2 and verse 18 by saying that actions speak louder than words. Our works, the things that we do, it shows our faith. And I suppose perhaps you've heard about the parents. They were driving past the church building. It was on a Sunday evening. And services were being conducted at that particular time. When they drove past the building, their son that was sitting in the back of the car, he said, "Mama, Daddy, we got to stop." And they said, "Why do we need to stop?" He said, "Somebody left the lights on at the church building." We don't want that to be the way that our young people think about Sunday nights, is it? We don't want that to be the way that our young people think about Wednesday nights. Very quickly, we need to attend all services because the church needs us. The church needs us. 1 Corinthians 12 is a very lengthy chapter about the body of Christ and how important that each member of the body is. Each of us have a different skill set that nobody else has. Each of us has a personality that nobody else has. The church needs workers. The church needs our voices in singing. They need our prayers. The church needs our presence. And friends, I believe that our presence alone says that we are supportive of the church. And our presence edifies the brethren. The church needs any service that you can provide. I have two more points, but we're not going to do them tonight. I want to say again that I'm very grateful for the privilege to be here tonight. And I hope that it's the case that people who are here tonight, that they assemble every time that the doors are open. I also hope that if that's not the case, that maybe tonight we've been encouraged to do just that. I want to say thank you again for allowing me to be here. Thank you for allowing my family to be here. Grateful to be in your presence.